Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. Are you hearing an echo? I think I am. Hello. Carol, are you here with us?
Can you hear me?
Perfectly. Absolutely perfectly. And my echo's gone now. Thank you, Reggie. And so today we have a special show in that last week when we closed out the show, we had three people or more waiting to ask us questions. So we decided, since we hadn't been able to complete our subject last week, which created such interest, we decided to do it again this week and see if we can get the people that were not able to speak with us back and call us with their questions. So we have two pieces of business to do. Oh, first of all, I'm with my co-host.
Hi, Carol Peterson.
And so we have two pieces of business to do. One is we have a matching grant. We've never had that before. I love them because when you give $5, $10, $100, $500, we have a match to that. So what you give is doubled. I love matching grants, and I know we can do it. I know you're there because you call in. And so I'm asking, this is a big ask, but it's not a big ask for what you receive. It's an appropriate ask for what you receive. And you can call in 212-209-2950 and donate, and you will be given and registered as part of the matching, and you will be able to receive a tote bag, a WBAI tote bag. I love walking down the street with the tote pad. It's strange. I'm there walking along, my tote pad on my arm, lost in thought, and I look at someone with their thumbs up while I'm walking by, and there is part of our community. There is a WBAI listener who's very aware of the importance of supporting BAI. So you walk by there. It's like I've got a friend on the street. I love it. What do you think, Carol?
Sounds like a new friend. Stop and talk.
Exactly. Definitely, without a doubt. So that's number one part of the business. The other part of the business is to finish what we were speaking about before and to ask you to call in with your questions, because this is an area of health that we have so many questions about. And so many people are limited in their understanding. And this has to do with hypothyroid. Now, people come into the office and everything is their thyroid, and it isn't always, but the checking it is very difficult to do to get an appropriate answer. And very often it's a combination of the adrenals and the thyroid, and the adrenals need to be balanced with the thyroid so the thyroid can support the adrenals, so you can have appropriate energy, and the adrenals support the thyroid so you can feel energized and capable and able to think and appropriate in your temperature, not too hot, not too cold. Have regular menses whenever.
Biggie. People don't think about it.
whenever we have our periods that are irregular, you have to look at the thyroid. When you have PCOS, polycystic ovary disease, we have to look at the thyroid. When males are impotent, we have to look at the thyroid. When females have low libido, we have to look at the thyroid. When our hair is falling out, especially in an early age, we have to look at the thyroid. So,
I think you
Carol,
have a mental disease. You should
exactly.
check hormones first. I think I wrote a blog once. Check your hormones first before assuming that something else entirely and what that you have a chemical imbalance inside your body. Probably you do, but it's hormone related. It's not a benzodiazepine deficiency or antidepressant deficiency. It just is amazing how many things just melt away if you look at those deficiencies. But thyroid, this just dazzled me. Of course, they had published a study, and it was people with depression, and guess what? They were antidepressant resistant depression. So they had about 80 people in the study, or with no, it's 100 people, and 80% of them, when they added thyroid, their depression kind of melted it away. So guess what the conclusion was? Maybe we should add thyroid therapy to antidepressant therapy.
Oh, so we're going to keep the antidepressant therapy and just add thyroid to it. Well, I think that maybe if the depression dissolved, maybe they just needed thyroid and balanced hormones. You know, our thyroid helps us balance our thyroid. It helps us utilize particularly progesterone. Elevated estrogen blocks thyroid and blocks our ability to convert T4 to T3. And so it's all about balance. It isn't about one or another. And as I said, a thyroid hormone allows us to regulate and make progesterone, but progesterone allows us to utilize thyroid hormone. So I want to go through a very, very quick and
Oh, before that, let's give the number out to call us.
to call us is 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. But to call in, which we are asking you know, week after week, we're here, we're giving you and sharing with you information that'll make your life better. And so we are now asking you to support this program, but also support the entire station that allows programs like this, which are quite unique, and programs that we're hearing all day long, which are really, like I said, quite unique, and programs we're hearing all day long that producers have put together without being paid, just for the love of being able to share with you. And the information is stellar, and you know that. That's why you're listening. So support this station. Please do fill up our matching grant, $500. We need you to donate $500 so we can support WBAI, and your money will be doubled. So let's see what we can do. The number to call is 212-209-2950. And we would very much appreciate your support as we're giving out support for you and your health. So, Carol, I was going to go through just a very quick diagram or outline of thyroid. And when our cells signal that they're not getting enough energy It signals the brain to release TSH and thyroid stimulating hormone. And the TSH then stimulates the thyroid, which makes thyroid hormone. And it makes 15% of that thyroid hormone, 10 to 15% is T3, and 85% is T4. The T3 is active. And it goes into the cells and stimulates energy. It's short acting. It stimulates energy and creates appropriate temperature. So all enzyme actions, which our whole body is run by action, by enzymes, all enzyme actions become capable. And the T4 is mostly inactive. But it is able to be converted through the liver and through the cells to T3 to an active form if you have appropriate nutrients and support mechanisms to allow that to happen. But it also can go to the liver and be converted to reverse T3. Reverse T3 is very interesting because when you take a T4 or a T, thyroid hormone test, you measure everything together, but you're not measuring the reverse T3, and the reverse T3 is an opposite molecule that literally sits on the thyroid receptors and blocks the ability of thyroid to then activate the cells and have appropriate thyroid hormone. So we're gonna
There's some callers, Corinne, to be
we're gonna today talk about the blood test and the different type of testing that you can do so we can track this down. And we're gonna look at the thyroid, but also we want you to understand it also has to do with adrenal support. And hello, you're live. Your name,
Hi,
please.
Jim.
Hi. You supporting BAI?
Yeah.
I'm putting you on the spot. Well, I appreciate that. We appreciate that.
I
And
have a question
allows us to be here.
about your subject.
Yes.
I know, like, one of the classic books for thyroid was written by Broda Bonds, and I know he's dead now. I was wondering if two things, if his book is still valid, all the information in his book is still valid today, and whether it is or not, is there another book that is updated and is as good as his book was when he wrote it?
Well, every thyroid book has a little bit different slant, but Broda Bonds' book still holds true. It's absolutely dazzling. It's one of the first books I read after being propagandized in pharmacy school, right? And I had to be blown away by what happened. They used to actually have a foundation too that had
Yes.
meetings all about the endocrine system. I just did a blog on my website, thewellnessbydesignproject.com. I've got a couple other books there. I've got Mark Starr's book, Type 2 Hypothyroidism, talking about receptor resistance. So he's expanded on that thought. And then Dennis Wilson, The Wilson Syndrome. And he's expanded on what Corinne just was bringing up, the reverse T3. If your body is making this inactive thyroid, you're sort of in a hibernation state. And sometimes it's abnormal and prolonged. Sometimes there's a good reason for it. So Dr. Wilson has a method for turning that back on. Corinne, do you have some favorite books?
Well, those two are really cover the field that I am aware of because they look at the problem from totally different angles. So you get a very good idea with those books. I haven't recently read a new book. The Bible is Broda Barnes. His observations were stellar, and his understanding was amazing. So thank you for your call.
I have another question, if it's okay.
Yes.
Remember the Barnes, he talked about the Barnes basal temperature test?
Yes.
What kind of thermometers can you use and cannot use? I know it goes under the armpit.
Yes, we're stuck with digital these days.
And those don't seem to work that well, do they, under the arm? Have you seen that, Carol?
Well, there was one type I used, and actually his recommendation with the old-fashioned mercury thermometer was that you held the thermometer underneath your arm for 10 minutes. And actually, if you do some digitals, I can't say for all, if you do that very same technique, the temperature actually does change a bit after you've been sitting there for a while. So I'd recommend that you do that when you're looking at something so critical. You're looking for a temperature 97.8 to 98.2 first thing when you wake up in the morning. Without leaving your bed, you have the thermometer right there at your bedside. But the digital is all we have available these days.
Was that an oral, or someone told me one time he was supposed to use a clean rectal for the under the armpit. Was it an oral or otherwise?
Well, it's the same. The design of rectal thermometers simply had thicker glass, so less prone to breaking.
That's so
how they
one
were
you
designed.
Could use.
But essentially the mercury thermometer was measuring the same thing.
So either one you could use.
Right. Exactly. So if you have one of those, that would be the gold standard. Temperature, though, is really, really a good measurement. Active thyroid T3 in the mitochondria is what triggers both production of ATP for energy plus the heat of your body. And even with the digital, I have clients tell me they recorded temperatures like 95, 96. Can you imagine how metabolically slowed down they are? It's a big problem.
It's the digital is just not as good.
For the brain, for the entire body.
And you were saying the digitals are just not as good as the mercury ones, huh?
We don't know.
It's not as good for the Broda Barnes axillary test,
okay,
is what she was saying. It becomes difficult to get an accurate reading. Because sometimes they won't hold and register for 10 minutes. They have their register and then they turn off and now there's no more temperature measurement. So they're not as effective for this type of measurement. But
well,
they can be perfect.
They have non-mercury.
And they give you an accurate temperature.
I'm sorry, what?
They can be, if you're using them sublingually, under the tongue, they can be accurate and give you an accurate temperature. We have someone else holding.
They sell thermometers that are non-digital and non-mercury that go in the mouth. Are you familiar with them?
I would try those as an alternative. I've seen some of those.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So thank you for your call, and hi, you're live on AI.
So thank you for your call, and
I'm having trouble.
All right, caller, make sure you take yourself off a speakerphone and listen directly into the receiver.
Make sure you take yourself off.
You need to turn off your radio also.
All right. I guess this is not working.
Okay.
I'll let you know when the next callers are coming up.
Thank you, Reggie. So, Carol, where do we want to go from here? Do we want to talk about the testing that would be appropriate and the support testing?
Okay. Yes.
You want to start or you want me to start?
Okay. Well, the most frequently used test is TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone, which is really a pituitary hormone and a measure of whether your pituitary is sending appropriate signals to the thyroid. When your TSH level goes way up, your pituitary is working overtime.
You know what, Carol? I don't know, maybe. You need to speak into your microphone.
Oh, I am.
Okay.
Yeah, turn up your volume. So the thermometer, I'm going back to the thermometer. So the TSH can be also very, very low, and it's often interpreted mistakenly like somebody presenting with all kinds of low thyroid symptoms, with pale skin, fine hair, low body temperature as the first caller. They're hyperflexible, might even be a little yellow because they've got beta carotene accumulating. So you see, you have this person in front of you and the TSH is way low. There's a secondary hypothyroidism. Your pituitary might not be doing its job. And then there's even a tertiary hypothyroidism when your hypothalamus doesn't do its job either. So it's a bit confusing, can be a bit confusing. Yet when you have a very low TSH, in spite of how you look like, what you present like, many doctors misinterpret that as being hyperthyroid, that your thyroid's putting out plenty of hormone so that your pituitary doesn't have to. Now, what test, Corinne, would you look to ensure that that's not happening, that you're not really hyper? How would you know that on a thyroid testing?
Well, first of all, I would do a TSH, although we really have to look at these other parameters to evaluate it. And that would be a T4 and a free T4 and a T3 and a free T3 and a reverse T3. So we're looking at all of this to see what is blocking or if there's a blockage, if the thyroid is making appropriate hormones. So that is that looks completely at the hormones produced to see if the thyroid is functioning correctly. And now we can have reverse.
We have another caller. We have another caller holding.
Let me finish this little part. The reverse T3 can be too high if our iron is too low, if we're very high inflamed, if we have too high a cortisol level, which is too high stress. So that slows down the thyroid when those factors exist. So, hi, you're live. Hello.
Thank you very much for hello, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you for calling. Are you supporting WBAI? We need your help.
Not financially, since I'm in the doldrums. I need some support myself at the moment.
Okay. Well, but hopefully.
Here's my question, ladies. It seems as though, from all this cursory study that I'm doing, is that none of these glands work independently. And so, A, is it appropriate to really just address one gland? I mean, could it be possible that the thyroid is now starting to sort of ramp down production in order to, because something else is failing downstream or perhaps upstream? Like, you know, it's connected to the liver and the pituitary gland. So is it possible that the thyroid gland could be malfunctioning or not functioning properly because there's a problem in that area and it's trying to sort of maintain that balance? And B, isn't all this dysfunction really just a result of mitochondrial health? And so by that, shouldn't we just be addressing that to really cover everything rather than, you know, Synthroid or taking all these other things?
I think it's yes, 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 and maybe.
Okay.
The yes is that it's very possible that what is happening, and which I tried to explain in the last answer, it's very possible that other organs are affecting the thyroid output, and the uptake of thyroid hormone. When I said uptake or the creation of reverse T3 can be due to low iron, that's part of the answer to what you're saying, or to high inflammation. Autoimmune disease, which creates high inflammation, will definitely put a damper on your body's ability to utilize thyroid hormone and high cortisol. And that's directly the adrenals. Surging adrenals over long periods of time or even short periods of time can directly affect the ability to utilize T3, but also it affects the liver. So the liver then makes more reverse T3. So what you're saying is very appropriate, and it is multifactorial. It's not just one thing. That's what the confusion, where the confusion happens. When I first started studying thyroid, I'm reading along, and then I come to a page and it says symptoms, and they had it listed, and there were two pages of symptoms. And I said, oh my gosh, how can I discern what is the problem, since these symptoms overlap with everything that I see? Is everything hypothyroid? But what is happening is that thyroid affects every cell in the body, just like you said. So sometimes it takes working with a very intense detox program to get our body feeling the thyroid again. Sometimes, as Carol mentioned, it takes balancing our hormones. Sometimes it takes lowering estrogen levels. Sometimes, you know, so all of these factors have to be looked at, because yes, you're right. All the organs are balance each other. Carol?
Well, here's an example. The symptom of cold hands and feet. That can certainly be a thyroid, low thyroid symptom. It's also a symptom of low adrenals.
So and it's also a symptom of autoimmune disease.
Right. It can be a symptom of not enough NO, nitric oxide, for circulation. So we have lots of potentials. And then we have like the hormone progesterone supports thyroid production. Recent study, and this is a brand new study this year, that progesterone actually raised the levels of T4, which was a surprising outcome. And then we already know that progesterone helps the conversion to active thyroid, to T3 from T4. And then we have the situation that if your thyroid is low, you need it to convert beta carotene into vitamin A, so that cholesterol will turn into pregnenolone and then into progesterone. So if you don't have enough thyroid activity, You're not going to get progesterone made. And then to further complicate things, like the hormone progesterone, we're told it's mainly a sex hormone, the ovaries and testes. It's made by the adrenal glands. Oh my goodness, but it's made by the mast cells, and it's made by the Schwann cells to protect the nervous system. Your brain makes it all by itself. Right from cholesterol in your brain, which your brain has made the cholesterol too. So we have all these systems working. And one of the nice things, I think, is that actually if you use a little hormone, your body does use it in all these places. It'll use it inside cells that normally make it. Inside your brain that normally makes it and maybe not making it so much, and it doesn't even need a receptor for it. There's all different kinds of enzymatic transactions which carry out these functions. So the deeper you dig, the more you learn and the more you don't know.
I'm going to ask people to call in to 212-209-2950. We have $500 matching fund. We need your help. This is a big ask, but not a big ask for what you ask for what you receive. It's an ask that it's literally a quid pro quo. We give you support. You support, and with your support, we know what you're interested in, and then we work hard to put it together so we're ready to share this information with you. So we're asking you to come through at $25, $50, $100, $500, whatever works for you. The last gentleman was having troubles financially. If he could even give $5, it would be better. It would let us know how much he appreciates the show. And we understand when people are having financial problems. The number to call, 212-209-2950. We have a $500 matching fund. We really don't want to lose it. It's too important. So, Carol, is there someone else holding Reggie?
Not right now.
Oh, okay. The number to call in and speak with us is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. And we'd appreciate your calls, and we're glad to answer them. So there's another very important test to take to best.
Corinne, before you jump ahead, I think it would be helpful if you explain total and free T3 and T4. Why do we measure both of those, and what does that mean?
Well, free T4 is in the bloodstream, and free T3 are in the bloodstream, but they're able to connect, but they're really not able to be used until they have then become free T3 and free T4 by connecting to the receptor sites. And that's when they're usable. So our body has all these mechanisms. They have reverse T3, they have free T3, free T4, and they have T3, T4, all of these mechanisms to ensure that the thyroid hormone is appropriate for the cells to allow optimal health. It's an amazing mechanism that this body is. It has multiple different organs and systems that allow this essential hormone to be appropriate in the body. If the body does not have enough active T3, which the brain uses to think with, the brain will make T3. It will create T3. That's how important it is. In small amounts, but just enough so the brain isn't damaged by lack of T3. This is an important hormone, as all of our hormones are, that we utilize. So I would like
to help control that thyroid. Inside the blood, there are carrier proteins, and thyroid has carrier proteins, as do all other hormones, and simply the hormones attached to it. It's considered, while it's floating around in the blood, attached, it's not so available. So the ultimate free T3, not bound to a carrier protein, should have the most significance as what kind of active thyroid is there for you.
And we're talking about traces. We're talking about very small amounts with very large effects. And I have some examples that I've seen of people with a hypothyroid. I had an example where a young woman came to me and she could not pass bowel at all. And her lower legs had constant pain, continuous pain, and she was fatigued. She was very bright. She was in a very high stress job. She also wanted to get pregnant, and none of that was happening for her. And her bowels were this continuous, never-ending problem. So we looked at her thyroid, and her TSH was in the lowest part of normal. And we did some antibody testing, which we'll discuss in a second. And we found that her body was reacting to her thyroid hormone. So we decided to give a very low dose. We started her on a low dose of thyroid hormone. She felt like she was reborn again. And then we slightly raised it, and her energy came back, her focus came back, her bowels became normal. And one of the first things that resolved was the pain in her lower legs and this coldness, this aching coldness in her feet. That resolved so very rapidly. And then she got pregnant and she went to her OBGYN, who said, "You can't be on thyroid," and took her off of thyroid. And all the
pregnancy, you need twice the amount of thyroid.
Exactly. When you're pregnant, you need more thyroid. You need the support of different nutrients that we'll discuss shortly. And she had to suffer through her pregnancy with leg pain and constipation. And
plus, then you have an unhealthy baby when
exactly.
Doesn't thrive as it should. So it's really, really sad. So you end up having a hypothyroid baby who will have more hypothyroid babies as we go along. So it's really not contributing to having a healthy society.
To call in the numbers 212-209-2877. That's the number to ask us questions. But then the number to call in and donate. We have a $500 matching fund. We're asking you to support us in any way you can, in $5, in $25, in $50, in $100, in $500. I would hate to lose that money. We have 1 hour to get $500 so we could match this fund. And when you give to WBAI at this time to take charge of your health, what you give is doubled. You give 25, it becomes 50. You give 100, it becomes 200. You give 500 and it'll become 1,000. This is essential. We need that extra help. So the number to call, 212-209-2950, and donate to WBAI. So thyroid antibodies are another test that I check. And it's one is called TPO and the other is called antithyroglobulin, TGAB. And these are essential antibodies to understand if the thyroid is under attack by its own body, or if it's able to receive and be stimulated by hormones that allow it to work appropriately, by the TSH, to see if it can work appropriately. So
it actually contributes to damage of your thyroid gland, making it less and less functional. However, doctors leave this off a lot. Conventional medicine really doesn't address the antibody situation very well. And for this kind of situation, which is sometimes called Hashimoto's,
You need to look to the gut for treatment, not thyroid hormone particularly. Maybe you should support it or maybe not. But the focus of what's going wrong is a disordered microbiome in the gut.
And so you can have elevated antibodies without really feeling it, and yet your thyroid is being damaged with those antibodies. And those can be turned around. Sometimes just getting off of wheat can make a tremendous difference. And supporting the rest of your body can make a tremendous difference. And now understand, these antibodies, yes, they are thyroid, but they're an autoimmune disease. So you treat it not only like you're supporting the thyroid, but as you would any other autoimmune disease. And that's very important to understand, that just like the first caller, it's just not one organ. It's a total body reaction.
Carol? Yeah, another caller.
Hi. Hi.
Hello.
Live.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Beverly. You can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
So, you know what? I was listening, and I think you might have just answered my question. I had a thyroid. I've always had my thyroid tested over the last probably 10 years. And all of my numbers, the T3, T4, TSHs, all came back normal within the acceptable range. Last year, my doctor tested me for antibodies, and they were off the charts. So wow. I went and saw a endocrinologist, and he told me that because my T's were all good, that he didn't think it was a thyroid-related thing, but he put me on thyroid meds for like a 30-day trial to see if it would make any difference, which it didn't, and I went back off of them. And I asked him why my antibodies were so crazy high, and he said that they were dormant. Does that make sense to you?
The antibodies were dormant?
Correct.
No,
it doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't understand that.
Okay.
So what you were seeing was, I have not seen, there are some antibodies that you can see which are active or dormant, but I'm not aware of that in relationship to these antibodies that we test for the thyroid. Are you, Carol?
No.
No. And sometimes the state of the excessive antibodies can be transient. It can come and go. Or there are people who've had these high for years and years and years. This is such a beautiful illustration of what I just said. Our caller here, we didn't get a name. This is a state of what your doctor knows. So she's gone to a specialist in endocrinology and did not get any answers. Yet the answers are out there. It's very strange.
I would very much begin with the gut, but simultaneously work with inflammation. And then there's...
I've had my inflammation tested as well, and I don't have high inflammation markers.
Just okay, FYI. Did they check ferritin?
I'm sorry, say again?
Did they check ferritin?
I'm not positive. I don't know.
Things can see reactive protein. There are a lot more than just one indicator of inflammation. So there can be more things to check. So without knowing, and this is another thing, we don't know enough about our own bodies. We're not taught even fundamentals, like we're talking about right now, the fundamentals about how the thyroid works and how you would evaluate it. We should maybe have this in high school so we know how to take charge of ourselves or start learning the vocabulary and how to ask for things
So we can take charge of our own body. There's, for some reason, in Hashimoto's, low dose naltrexone can take care of.
That's what I was going to say.
I think you were trying to put that in, but
that also deals with inflammation.
What's that?
They have told me for years that I have Hashimoto's, and when I went to the endocrinologist, that's why my doctor was always checking my thyroid. And then when I went to the endocrinologist, he said, you're pre-Hashimoto.
Well, if it's going up and down and up and down, that is symptomatic of Hashimoto's. And there is something happening. And
what's going up and down?
Pardon?
Antibodies.
Oh, if the antibodies are, I see.
Now, we have two more callers, but I want to say something. You really need to be sure that you have adequate magnesium, that you have adequate essential fatty acids, omega-3s. Those can slow down. And also, Carol said something very important. And literally, I have seen antibodies reduced significantly because this doesn't deal with just the antibodies. It deals with autoimmune disease, and that's low-dose naltrexone. Can be very effective and no side effects.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your call. Good luck. Hi, you're live. Hello?
Yes, I'm on here. Thank you.
Your name, please?
I heard on the news where they're trying to ban these forever minerals that's causing. That they're putting in the food, forever chemicals. Is that what you call them?
I really don't. Do you know about that, Carol?
Yeah, I'm trying. Maybe the caller knows there's one that's pretty persistent. But glyphosate in the food is a tremendous endocrine disruptor, and we're putting it all over.
And whereas I know Italy has banned it in the whole country in their farming. Completely. I don't know if all Europe has, but Italy definitely has.
What type of foods would have that stuff in it? They said something like dental floss. You know, what is this?
Well, that would be fluoride.
And some, I beg your pardon?
Plastic derivatives in dental floss. Could be a plastic.
Exactly.
You're right. We are... In a sea of chemicals, they've been people measuring how many chemicals newborn babies have, even, and it's huge. That our bodies can do stuff with that is just amazing, and sometimes it really doesn't. We compartmentalize things into our fat, and it just sits there, so it's not mucking up our enzymatic reactions just at that moment.
So. Thank you very much for your call. We have someone else holding. Hi, you're live. Your name, please. Hello. Your name, please.
Hello.
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 Yes.
Is that me?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
What's your name, please?
Okay. David. In fact,
Hi, David.
I want to make. You're welcome. I think I want to make my last name David, too, because I always say David. In that way, it's all first call, first serve. What am I saying? Anyway, just out of curiosity, what was the thing you have to avoid chemically in food?
He was talking about forever chemicals. There are chemicals in our food supply that our body can't process, and neither does it get broken down, period. So that's what they're talking about. I recently just did see something, and they're talking about banning a substance. Of course, I don't know if people realize that in the United States, we're probably exposed to more chemicals than most countries of the world. And our government is pretty slow to ban things, so I don't know.
And even to research them. So thank you so much for your call.
Well, actually, there's one last question.
We really can't answer any more questions. at this point. I'm sorry about that, but I really want to say we have a matching grant. If you call in and donate $25, $50, $100, $500, we have a donor that will match that amount. I would hate to lose that. And we could lose it if you don't call in. The number to call is 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. We would very much appreciate your call. It would support this program so we can be here and comment and share with you like we did today. And we still didn't get through this subject yet because there's so many questions and good questions, because people aren't getting the answers that they need or an understanding that what is happening to their body. So the number to call, 212-209-2950. Support BAI. Get a tote bag. Walk down the street with your tote bag, put your vegetables or whatever in your tote bag, walk down the street. You will be surprised at how many people recognize it, respond to it. Some people even to say hello, because there are so many people out there. Over 64 years, we have been building a community, and that community includes you. Please support this program and support BAI. We have an emergency fund going right now to pay for the tower so we can be broadcast in the tri-state area. The number to call is 212-209-2950, and we would very much appreciate it. You will love the tote bag. It's black with our logo on it. It's really quite attractive. And you could receive it by donating $50, $100, $150, $200. And this is a matching fund, and we really don't want to lose it. We would have to return it. So we don't want to lose it. We appreciate that someone was willing to put up that money so that we can double our money when we receive the calls. So the number to call, 212-209-2950. I want to thank you, Carol. I will give out my web page. It's corinehealth.com, C-O-R-I-N-N-E. health.com. We also have a Facebook page, and that's Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne and Carol. And Carol, your website?
TheWellnessByDesignProject.com.
So we look forward to your comments. You can put your comments on Facebook, and we will respond, and we'll be back next week. So thank you very much.
And thank you, callers.
Thanks, Carol. It's always fun.
Thanks, Reggie.